And I want to talk about, and again, I just want to say this, it's important, but the political spirit wants to divide, okay? That's what's happening in our nation now. We have this political spirit, and no matter who, you know, no matter who started it, it doesn't really matter, does it? It just is this fact that somebody, that the political spirit is out to cause division, and we do that. So anyway, if you'll turn with me, please, to Matthew chapter 8. I was in prayer. I was in prayer, and the Lord gave me this word. We were praying for the issues in our nation, the election results. I've been praying into that, and I've been praying into other things. My life, you know, and so I want to speak into this what the Lord showed me yesterday. And so the thing he said to me yesterday was, let me sleep. All right. Now, I know that God, according to Psalms, never slumbers nor sleeps. I get that. But I want to go to Matthew chapter 8. And this is the context that he brought me into. Let me sleep. Speak to your storm is what the word was. So here we go. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 23, remember what happened here. He just finished the Sermon on the Mount. He healed the leper. He heals a bunch of people in Capernaum. And he heals a Roman officer's son. And then he comes in here, and then he says to the guys, now it's time to follow me and let those who are dead bury the dead. Remember, he said that he commissions. People came to him and said, Lord, I want to follow you. He says, Lord, I want to follow you, but you know, first let me go and bury my father. Another one says, I have, you know, and Jesus says, you know, and then he says to one guy, teacher, I'll follow you wherever you go. Foxes have dens, birds have nests. Son of man has no place to lay his head. Another, first let me go and bury and take care of my aged father before and bury him when he dies. And he says, now is the time for the dead to bury their dead. Okay, and then he says this in verse 23, and I want to get into this. He says, they all got into the boat and began to cross over to the other side of the lake. Now, remember, what's on the other side of the lake was demon possessed. One chapter says demon possessed men, a couple of demonized people. Another book, I think it was Luke, that talked about the demoniac. There was one guy. Okay, but there's a couple of things I want to talk about here that we're not going to talk about those. But I believe, I believe this, that these men or this man who was demon-possessed threw himself against the rocks, broke the chains open. I believe that that was himself trying to break himself free of the chains that were on him to be set free. He wanted to be free. And he couldn't because he was demon possessed, okay? And then Jesus came and set him free. That's why they kept putting chains on him. They had people putting chains on him because he was breaking them, and he was hitting his, you know, cutting himself against the rocks and everything. And then Jesus sets him free. But I want to talk about this whole trip. We're going to go to the other side of the lake. And Jesus, exhausted, fell asleep. That's verse 23. I'm reading out of the Passion Translation again. Verse 24, suddenly a violent storm developed. Another translation of that word means an earthquake. Okay, so there was a violent earthquake, there was a violent storm. And so this thing had happened and developed with the waves so high, the boat was about to be swamped. And yet Jesus continued sleeping soundly. The disciples woke him up and said, Lord, save us, Lord, we're going to die. But Jesus reprimanded them, why are you gripped with fear? Where is your faith? And then he stood up and rebuked the storm. Okay, he rebuked the storm. It's the same Greek word that he said when he rebuked demons. He spoke to it and he said, stop it. That's what that word rebuke means, stop it. And so I believe that this could have been a demon that was bringing the storm. And he says, be still, and instantly it became perfectly calm. The disciples were astonished by this miracle and said to one another, who is this man? Even the wind and the waves obey him. That's pretty funny. Who is this man? Even the wind and the waves obey him. So he's sleeping. And the Lord told me last night, or yesterday, in prayer, he said, let me sleep. Okay? And he says, speak to your storm. All right? We have storms that are happening right now. As a nation, as people, we are having storms right now. And many people, many people are dying. I mean, I'm growing my facial hair, my hair, because there's a 30-month-old child, just 2 and a half, that has cancer, and they went in for treatment, and they redid the test, and the test showed that the cancer had spread to this little baby. Her name is Tessa, her little baby's lungs, and they gave her 2 months to live. And I also have a 4 and a half-year-old friend, a child of friends, that had cancer and is going through treatments. And so I'm growing my hair out. And I told them, listen, I can't cut my hair. I mean, because they had to shave their heads. I said, listen, I can't cut, I already shaved. What I'm going to do is I'm going to grow my hair out for you. And I also know that October is Prostate Cancer Awareness Month, and then so grow the beard kind of thing. Anyway, so people are dealing with stuff. People are totally dealing with stuff right now. Parents are dealing with sick children. I had a friend that's 31 years old, died last Friday. And, things are happening all around. I mean, I just came out of a very devastating season in my life, a very painful, emotionally painful season in my life. And I just want to say that we are all going through stuff. This thing that's happening, whether it's a pandemic or a real issue, it is, don't get me wrong, I understand that there is this virus around. With a 99.96% minimum, 99.96% survival rate, which is actually a higher survival rate than the flu. And then we have this thing, and people have been discouraged. People have been in despair. People have had lack of vision. They have lack of hope. And the thing is that God showed me that we need to speak to these storms. And what do I mean by speaking? Basically, take your rightful place. And Jesus was talking to the disciples. I'm going to sit back a little bit. Jesus was talking to his disciples. And when he said, where's your faith? He wasn't saying, you don't have faith. What he said, where did you leave it? You had faith back there when we were feeding 5,000. You had faith back there when these people were healed. You had faith way back there. Where is your faith now? Where did you leave it? Did you leave it back there? Where is your faith? Where did you leave it? Take up your faith. Take it up again and speak to your storm with the authority that God has given you. You don't have to take it. It's like, imagine a boxer, if you will. He's going around, round one, bam, bam, and then all of a sudden he stops hitting. He stops defending himself. He's getting hit. And he goes back to the corner. And they said, come on, man, put your guard up. Well, if you don't put your guard up, you're not going to be protected. And if you're not going to fight back, there's no chance for you to win. So you have to pour out, and you have to come to this place where there is an outpouring of faith that comes from you. I'm going to read the chapter of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. If you want to go there, with me. I just want to highlight a couple of things. Jesus has already given you authority. Somebody say that with me. I already have authority. God already gave you authority. All right? Think about this. Think about these people. Faith enabled Moses to choose God's will. Verse 24. He was raised up in the palace. All right? Faith motivated Abraham to obey God's call to leave a familiar, leave the familiar to discover territory he was destined to inherit. Now faith, not tomorrow faith, not yesterday faith, but now faith brings our hopes into reality and becomes the foundation needed to acquire the things we long for. It is all the evidence required to prove what is still unseen. Another version says, faith is substance of things hoped for, the evidence of the unseen. He says in verse 6, without faith living within us, it would be impossible to please God. For we come to God in faith, knowing that he is real and that he rewards the faith of those who passionately seek him. We are powerless without faith to please God. God is stirred by faith. I remember, I was like in worship one time and church I didn't feel like God was being moved at all. I felt like he was just there. And then all of a sudden, somebody say suddenly, all of a sudden, God came out and he said, if you want me to move, then move me. And that struck me, that I had to have faith, and I had to, in faith, come to God as his bride and move him. I had to, can I say, arouse him. He's always, don't get me wrong, he loves us, I get that, and I understand that very, very well. But sometimes God wants to see, are you passionate? Are you passionate for his presence? These heroes all died still clinging to their faith. Sarah's faith embraced God's miracle power to conceive, even though she was barren and was past the age of childbearing. For the authority of her faith, okay, listen to this, the authority of her faith, some manuscripts say the authority of their faith, Abraham and Sarah. The authority of their faith, or the authority of her faith, rested in the one who made the promise, and she tapped into his faithfulness. Speak to your storm based upon his faithfulness. Remember, how do I know it's God's will? How do I know God wants me to be free of the torment? Because the Bible says that the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus, John 10:10, but Jesus came that we might have life and have it abundantly. I remember I was, I'm one that if God says something, I'll just do it. And, there were times when I didn't wait for God and I just did it. And, I paid the consequences. However, when God says something, I always do it, regardless of what it is, regardless of the backlash, okay? I remember in 1993, I went on a two-week mission trip to Latvia in Eastern Europe. And in the middle of this trip, God spoke to me audibly, and he said, go home, get your family, and come back. Now, I want to say this. I said to God, if you want me to go home and get my family to come back, you need to speak to my wife too, because, she's got to be on board. But I heard him audibly, and instantly, right after I heard those words, my translator said to me, well, why don't you just stay? and I was weeping, and I said, I have to go home and get my family. So I called my she's now my ex-wife, but I called my wife that night, that evening when we were finished. It was daytime in America. And we were talking. It was my birthday. It was our birthday. We were born on the same day, 2 years apart. And I remember telling her, oh, I have so much to tell you. And she said, I know. And I was thinking, God, you told her, you know. But I found out when I got home that God didn't tell her. God said, go. So I came home and I told my wife, you know, we're moving to Latvia. And she goes, what? Apparently God didn't tell her. And I remember this. I remember this because I went up to my pastor and I said, you know, we're going to be moving to Latvia. And, you know, we want the church's blessing. And he said, well, sometimes when you go on mission trips, you get emotionally attached. And, you know, and I was like, well, God spoke to me audibly to come home, get my family and go back. And to me, it sounded immediate. Okay, may or may not have been immediate. I don't know. But to me, it sounded like God was saying immediately. And so my pastor said, well, you know, you get emotional. And I was saying, listen, I just said this. I said, listen to me. We're moving to Latvia. If the church won't bless us, that's fine. I just need to know. We're moving to Latvia. This was over a couple, 3 weeks that I was talking to him. And I said, we're moving. And we want the church to bless us. If the church does not want to bless us, it's okay. We're going. God said go, we're going. I remember Keith Green years ago. Keith Green's hilarious. He says, you don't need God to tell you to go. You need God to tell you specifically to stay. And that's pretty funny because the Bible says go. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's what it says. Go. It doesn't say stay. It says go. And it's easier to go now because you can go through the internet. You can go through Zoom calls. You know, you can have international conferences through Zoom right now. Isn't that funny? You can do that. Actually, we can do stuff like this and they can project it onto a screen and have conferences now. Isn't that amazing? And the intimate knowledge of the glory of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Interesting. Sometimes it doesn't look like the way we think. So anyway, we go to Latvia, and then my friend comes to visit. He was a friend. Came to visit, and apparently God was speaking to somebody else to come. And he just said, I don't know. He was to come on a 2-week mission trip. And then they were talking within the weeks. And he said, and this guy said that things like this never entered my mind. You know, he was talking about the way that Israel was sinning. He says, like, this stuff hasn't even come into my mind. In other words, like, God didn't even think of that. It's not even an option for him. Like, what? That's kind of what it was. It wasn't like, oh, I didn't know this was going to happen, you know. And so he says, we can surprise God by sinning, you know, by sinning a certain way. And my friend looked at him and said, well, why don't we surprise God by obeying him once in a while? Anyway, we can surprise God. And that's how we please him. He is totally pleased with us when we reach out in faith. He bails, you know, I believe this, that we can take a step of faith, and God bailed me out, don't get me wrong. You know, we had a lot of money that was donated at the beginning, that was pledged at the beginning, and within 6 months we were down to half of it. And that's normally what happens. It's a shame, but normally that's what happens. And even now, many missionaries are suffering because the people of God are not working because of this thing that's going on. And in fact, my son got laid off. He was an HR guy over at World Vision, and he was laid off because there was no need for it anymore. They shut the building down, and you know there wasn't, you know, this need. They had the HR people, and he was the lowest on the totem pole. So God says, let me sleep. I believe that what we need to do is to start acting with the authority and the power and the faith that God has already given to us. We need to do it. To know that He's already given us the authority, all authority in heaven and earth, Matthew 28, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. What storm are you going through? If you're going to be a leader, if you're going to be somebody leading people, you have to be able to speak to the storm, man. Let Jesus sleep. Speak to the storm. Rebuke the storm. What storm is coming against you today? What storm has been coming against you the last couple of weeks? Is it a physical ailment? Is it an emotional breakdown or an emotional stress? What is it? Speak to it. Don't think it. Speak it. The Bible says death and life are in the power of the tongue, and you're going to eat its fruit. Today's Friday, right? Back at the beginning of Rosh Hashanah, that night when Rosh Hashanah started, the Lord spoke to me. He said that He's going to expose the pretenders. He's going to expose the performers. He's going to expose the players, the imposters. They're all going to be exposed. And this is what we have to look at. And we still have time to repent of the games that we play in church. People go to different schools of ministry, whether YWAM or Agape Force or whatever ministry, because they want to get something, a certificate that says, I went through this class. I've got one of those. I want a certificate that says I go to Bethel or that I was at Bethel. I want a certificate so that people will think something of me. Stop being a pretender. Stop being a performer. God does not need, hear me, God does not need you with a certificate. God didn't give Paul a certificate. God didn't, I mean, even the people in Jerusalem, they just gave him hey, he's safe. Because Paul, remember, Paul was killing people. Peter didn't need one. Stephen didn't need one. The Apostle John did not need one. You don't need a certificate from a school that says that you have the gifting. Go to the schools and get filled with the anointing of the Holy Spirit and given this training you need to make it into your ministry of what God's called you to do. People come to churches because they want people to know them as somebody who goes to that church. They live like God for 2 hours on a Sunday and they live like the devil the rest of the week. But I go to such and such a church. I'm a part of such and such a ministry. Don't even go, oh, Tom. Holy Spirit, help me. And many of them are imposters. There's a lot of real people too. I go to a home group on Thursday nights, and in that group, there's no pretending there. They're very real. They're hungry. They want God more than they want anything else. God is tired of this stuff, man. God is tired of the game. God doesn't need a game. Many people call themselves Christians, but they're not. Many people don't call themselves Christians, but they are. They just don't need to have the label. One guy, if I mention his name, you know who he is. Actually, there was a lot of them. B.J. Thomas back in the 70s. Bob Dylan. Kanye West. They get saved. And is it the sinners that are making fun of them? Or telling them that they're, you know, oh, you can't, you know, that's not God. No, it's the Christian. I'll tell you this, Kanye West has led more people to the Lord than most, than I'm going to say 80% of the other Christians in the world. I stepped on a few toes there, terribly sorry. All I'm saying to you, sorry, not sorry, is that how you say it? All I'm saying to you today is to speak to your storm. Cancer, go in Jesus' name. Chronic back pain, go in Jesus' name. Storm, I command you to stop. Be still. Psalm 46:10. Be still and become intimate with God. Be encouraged. You have the authority in you. You just got to take it. You just got to use it. It's like having a car key with a car. Now I got to walk over here. Why? You got a car. Take your car. Nobody loves me. You do. God does. Even if nobody loves you, God loves you. You're going to make it. Take authority over your storm and let Jesus sleep. Anyway, that's it for today. I talked a half hour on something that God quickly said on a few days ago to me. I want to remind you that my friend George Flores, he has a ministry called The Gate Radio. TheGateRadio.org is the website. You can get the app, The Gate app, on the App Store for Apple, and also for the Play Store on your Android. You can get that up 24/7, and you can give to his ministry. If you want to give to this ministry, if you want to give into my ministry, you're welcome to. I mean, I do have needs. I do have financial needs, and I'm just trusting God. And I don't talk about it much, but I'm just trusting God for the everyday stuff. I also have a book that's in a publisher waiting for me to pay for the publishing. And it's $3,000 for that. I have wanted to start a radio station for myself, and I needed $5,000 for that. $2,000 of that money came in, and I was able to buy some equipment. And, you know, so now it's just the software and the soundproofing that I need as well. So anyway, just that's there. If you want to give, just message me and I'll tell you how to do it. We have PayPal, Venmo, the Cash App, and also Google Pay is also there. So, you know, there are different ways. And I have a friend in Malawi that has totally lives by faith of the givers on Facebook. She started out with just like a couple of givers on Facebook. She went to Malawi by faith when she was 31. She's approaching 35 now, and if she's not 35 yet, and then she's already built 5 buildings in her compound in a place that she lives. The 4 of them are going to be a school. One of them is going to be a library. She's trying to raise money now for a road out in to so that because she lives in a bluff, and what happens is when it rains, the road or the road going out gets muddied and slippery, and it's really hard. So she wants to, and the government won't do anything about it. So they want to, she wants to raise the money to do it. She doesn't need like billions of dollars. She just needs, you know, whatever she needs. And then so you can go to TenneilOutloud.com. TenneilOutloud.com. T-E-N-E-I-L Outloud.com. And you can get on to and find out how to donate into her for this road. And you can even put in there for the road. And so she's trying to do it as a blessing for the town that she lives in, the tribes that are around her as well. People come to her house and they, you know, I have to go to the hospital, and she takes them, but without a road, you can't get out of town. You can't get out of where they are. So, you know, you got to help. And then also she funds school for the local tribes, for the local villagers that are there, for the children. And they have to perform. They have to do well in school. They have a certain criteria for her to pay for it. But yeah, that's really cool. Anyway, God bless you guys. Tomorrow is Saturday. I really felt that the Lord wants me to talk about Acts chapter 2, verse 4 tomorrow. So we'll do that. Anyway, God bless you. Have a great day. We'll talk to you next time.